Good afternoon, everyone. It's a new year and kind of a new me. I'm excited to be back, and I'm excited to welcome you all back to another episode of D3 Plus. I hope you all enjoyed your winter breaks, per se. I spent mine with family, traveled a little bit, but no, I'm home and ready to enter the new year with a new episode. I hope you all had a great holiday season. Hope you spent your Christmases and New Year's with friends and family. However way you did, I hope it was a good one. But today's episode may be a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of emotions, depending on how well you connect with the topics that I'm going to discuss today. Either way, I'm excited to bring you all this new episode. So what do you say? Let's get this thing rolling. As I said earlier, this may be a little bit of a roller coaster of an episode. We're going to talk about some highs, talk about some lows, but as you all know, unless you live under a rock, over the holiday break, we lost two very, very notable and well-known legends. So first off, rest in peace to both of them. And of course, I am talking about the great John Madden, an NFL legend on the field and up in the booth, and of course, the American icon who is just weeks away from her 100th birthday, Betty White. In honor of them today, let's take a look at their impressive and legendary resumes. First up, of course, I am a huge football fan, so first up is John Madden. So let's take a look at his impressive life. John was born in Austin, Minnesota in 1936, but he grew up and spent most of his life, probably the majority of his life, in California. John Madden had, at the time, an unusual path to playing college football, but he eventually landed at Cal Poly. John played football and baseball at Cal in the late 1950s. He then went on to earn both his bachelor's and his master's degree in education from his alma mater. However, as we all know, his career would not be in the classroom. John was drafted in the 21st round of the 1958 draft by the Philadelphia Eagles, but a knee injury in his rookie season ended any chances of John playing in the NFL. John then returned to California to begin his coaching career. He coached for four seasons at Hancock College, two as an assistant, and then two as head coach. He then moved on up to coach at San Diego State in the mid-1960s as a defensive assistant coach. Then came along another late and great legend, Al Davis. Davis brought John to the Raiders organization in 1968 as a linebackers coach. And after just two seasons coaching in the NFL, Madden was promoted to head coach in 1969. And yes, he took over a legendary Raiders team. He went on to coach 10 seasons at the helm of the now historic franchise, and Madden himself never had a losing record as Raiders head coach, and he even won a Super Bowl that was Super Bowl 11 over the Minnesota Vikings. Along with the Super Bowl win, Madden led the Raiders to seven other AFL championship games, which is the equivalent of the AFC championship game before the NFL became the NFL that we know today. Madden, throughout his career, had a 75.9% win percentage, which puts him top 10 all-time in the NFL. And after coaching, as we all know, Madden went on to become one of the greatest analytical minds of the NFL and spent most of the rest of his life as a color commentator and analyst up in the booth for CBS. And as we all know, he also was the lead developer for the EA video game Madden, which has become a household name and a fan favorite. Madden's reach and legacy goes far beyond the field and the booth, but we will never forget the legend of John Madden. Now it's time to talk about the great Betty White. If you don't know who Betty White is, I don't know where you've been for the last 100 years, but she is a household name, she's an American icon, and let's take a look at the great history of who Betty White became. White, an entertainment icon, spent over 9 decades in the teen TV business and was a pioneer for early television. She was both an actress and comedian and was best known for her daytime talk shows, starring on shows such as Blondie and This Is Your FBI, and she even produced and starred in her own hit show, Life with Elizabeth, in the 1950s. She later on had her own variety shows, and she did much, much more on NBC. Betty was a star since the beginning, and she routinely made guest appearances on hundreds of shows and movies, all up until her sudden death just a week ago. Betty White will forever be a household name, and she was just 17 days away from her 100th birthday before passing. Rest in peace to not one, but two literal living legends. Wow, it was truly sad, and I mean, really shocking and all of a surprise to lose those two legends all in 2 weeks leading up to the end of 1 year and the beginning of another. So rest in peace to them, but switching subjects here, switching over to some Division III football. If you listened to my last episode, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I basically highlighted the Stag Bowl, which is the name and title of the Division III football national championship. And, of course, it was Mary Hardin Baylor squaring off with North Central College in what turned out to be something I was not expecting. It was a high-scoring game, but it was kind of a blowout. If you haven't heard by now, Mary Hardin Baylor was crowned the 2021 NCAA Division III Football National Championship. They defeated North Central 50-24 to win the Stag Bowl, of course, and they completed a 15-0 season. And they won their second championship and the first one, of course, coming back in 2018. So they now have won two of the past three national championships. Of course, North Central was the other winner back in 2019, as there wasn't one in 2020 or the 2021 season, as a lot of games got moved to the spring. So congrats to Mary Hardin Baylor. They dominated, and I'm seeing here a tweet from them. They actually had 20 total wins in 2021 because, of course, Division III football was moved to the spring season instead of being played in the fall. So they won 5 games in the spring, and, of course, they can perfect 15-0 season. And what was crazy, I kept up with the game, but seeing a lot of it on Twitter, it got me thinking. A former player, two former players from Mary Hardin Baylor who played in the NFL were just following along with the game, live tweeting, talking about their times with Division III in the making to the NFL. So it got me thinking, how many players in the NFL did not play Division I football? They actually came out of D2 and D3 schools. Well, it's actually really shocking. Some notable players right off the top of my head, and it's crazy, they all play for the same team. Yes, I'm talking about the Denver Broncos. They have 5 players who did not play Division I football, and two of them actually start, and then the other three actually get some solid play time with them. Of course, I'm talking about Quinn Meaners. He was drafted this year. He's the highest drafted Division III football player ever. He topped out St. John's tackle, who plays for the Jaguars now. He was just drafted a few spots before him. Of course, that's number 77 on the Broncos. He plays guard for them, and he started the majority of the season. He didn't start right away, but by like week 3, he was starting, and he's played in 14 or 15 games this season for the Broncos. So shout out to him. Another one of his teammates who did not play Division I football, he didn't even play football in this country in college, is Brett Jones, his center, number 65. He actually played at Regina University in Canada, and he's already been in the NFL for 7 seasons. He is actually teammates of Chicago Bears defensive tackle Akeem Hicks, who also attended Regina University up in Canada. So how the NFL found these players, I do not know, but it's kind of crazy and very impressive. Other teammates of them include Jonathan Harris. Jonathan Harris is the other starter I was talking about for the Broncos. He's number 95, their defensive tackle. He played at Lindenwood University, which is a Division II school in Missouri, and he's in his third season with the Broncos. So although the Broncos may have a handful of guys that didn't play Division I football, there were actually close to 100 players who did not play Division I football. So yes, they played at the Division II or Division III level as of 2020. So here are some notable players from that list on that 2020 roster, and some of them might surprise you. So we have the guys we talked about, and someone who really sticks out to me on this list is Greg Zuerlein, the Cowboys kicker. He attended Missouri Western. Jonathan Harris, I already talked about. My apologies. EJ Speed, Grover Stewart. Keelan Cole, wide receiver for the Jaguars, went to Kentucky Wesleyan. Here's a shock to everyone. Tyreek Hill, he was a Division II product. He attended West Alabama. Along with him, there's guys like Eric Kutch, Jeff Heath, Austin Eckler, Los Angeles Chargers running back, played at Western State, a Division II university. Morgan Fox, Adam Shaheen, tight end for the Dolphins. He also played for the Bears, attended Ashland University. Adam Thielen is a Division II product as well. So, I mean, this list continues. There are some notable names. Malcolm Butler, most famous for his game-stealing interception in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. When he played for the Patriots, he's now in the Titans. He's a Division II product as well. And then, of course, there's the Division III guys we were talking about. But another tight end, Dan Arnold, he attended Wisconsin-Platteville. And the tackle I was referencing when we talked about the guard for the Broncos, Quinn, Ben Bartsch, he was a tackle out of St. John's, Minnesota. He, at the time of his draft, was the highest drafted Division III player of all time. So, I mean, there's a handful of Division III players. The list for Division II is very lengthy, and, like, the number of players on this list, very close to 100 players. So, however, after the 2020 season, heading into the 2021 season, as of this season, the list shrank to a mere 60 players from Division II and Division III schools. However, with all that said, it is very possible that those who played college football outside of Division I can still make it to the NFL. It is not D1 or bust, as a lot of high school athletes, and I feel like a lot of parents feel like that too. Like, there are so many sports, so many programs, so many universities in America. It's not D1 or bust. Your kid, your athlete, they don't need to go D1 and then, oh, boom, they're a failure of an athlete. No, there is so many opportunities out there for players to play. It is not D1 or bust, as some say. But again, like all sports, making it to professional ranks is very, very challenging, and a tiny fraction, percentage, handful of guys ever make it to professional ranks, no matter the sport. However, since we were talking about college football, guys who have been drafted not playing Division I football, let's take a look at these NFL playoffs. As the teams in the playoffs are basically set, there are a few games that hang in the air in terms that matter for seeding and matchups, and that final wild card spot in the AFC is still a little messy and up for grabs. So let's take a look at the current playoff standings, some potential matchups, and more. So, taking a look at the current playoff picture, let's start in the NFC because this one is a little more cut and dry, per se. Just a few minor seeding issues here, but, I mean, the Green Bay Packers, they have already locked up the number one seed and that first round bye as the new current playoff format for the NFL. Only the top seed now receives that first round bye. So, the Packers have locked that one down at 13-3. They play the Lions this week. So, don't see the Packers losing that spot. Next up, the Rams currently hold the number two seed. They are 12-4, currently first place in the NFC West. They have a matchup with the 49ers, but right behind them go the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are 11-5, but because they are second in division, they sit at the five seed right now. And really, it comes down to this final week because the entire NFC West plays each other. If the Rams lose and the Cardinals win, or vice versa, so if the Cardinals were to win and the Rams lose, the Cardinals would jump to two and the Rams would fall to five. But if both teams were to win, or the Rams were to win and the Cardinals were to lose, the standings would stay the same. In the third spot right now, the Buccaneers, they have already locked up the NFC South. They are in. They are right now in the third seed. If the Rams were to lose, they would jump up to the second seed. If the Buccaneers were to win, they have a matchup with the Panthers this week. The Cowboys, they have clinched their division and a spot in the playoffs. So no matter what happens this week, they are in. They currently sit at the four seed. However, they are 11-5, so... again, if they were to win and the Buccaneers and Rams were both to lose, or one of them were to lose, the Cowboys could jump up. But, I mean, like I said, this final week, it's really just who's going to get what seed. It's really basically pretty much set. The Buccaneers clinch the division, they're in. The Cowboys clinch the division, they're in. Packers already locked the number one seed. So, really, it's just like that fight for the number two seed. Again, like I mentioned, Cardinals in the five seed. The Eagles have clinched a playoff spot. However, they sit in the seventh position, and the 49ers right now holding on to that sixth spot. Again, both teams are 9-7. So whoever wins this week will claim the sixth seed. Whoever loses will claim the seventh seed. The Eagles, of course, going against the Cowboys, a good division matchup, and the 49ers taking on those Rams. So as I see it right now, unless the Eagles and the 49ers play a heck of a game. It's going to stay 6-7 for them. The Saints, technically in the hunt, on the bubble. They play the Falcons this week. They're 8-8. They would need, really not a miracle, but they would need some more things than just a win and in, per se. So their outlook isn't looking too great as they're 8-8. But they do face the Falcons, a favorable matchup for them. So if they were to win, there is a good chance that they make the playoffs. Now heading over to the AFC, where things get messy. So the Titans right now sit in the number one seed. They are 11-5. They have clinched the division. They are first in the AFC South, and they're holding on to that number one spot. But right behind them is the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 11-5. They have clinched the AFC West. But the Titans, as it looks, they are playing the Texans. However, the Titans have lost to the Texans this year, so a loss here would knock the Titans out of that number one spot. So the AFC, like I said, really messy. Nothing is set in stone as is. Even the AFC East isn't even locked up because the Bills and Patriots are both 10-6. Right now, the Bills are number one in the AFC East, so they sit at the four seed. Right above them goes the Bengals. The Bengals already locked up the AFC North, so they have clinched the division. They're in the top four seeds, except they're at 10-6 as well. So if the Bills were to win this week, which they play the Jets may be without Braxton Berrios, so the Bills have a great chance of winning this week. If they were to win and the Bengals were to get upset by the Browns, the Bills would then win the division and jump to the three seed, and the Bengals would fall to the four. However, the opposite could happen. The Patriots, who are playing the Dolphins, and the Patriots are right now in the five spot, if they were to win and the Bills were to lose, the Patriots would win the AFC East and jump into that top four spot, and the Bills would then fall to five. Now, right behind them in the 6 and 7 seed go the Colts and Chargers. The Colts playing the Jaguars this week. They're 9-7, second in the AFC South. They cannot win the AFC South, but right now the Colts are in the sixth spot. I believe they're going to hang on to that sixth spot. A win may project them into the five spot, but again, the Bills and Patriots still ranked above them at 10-6, depending on what happens this week. So I think the Colts are the only team that's set in stone as a sixth seed. Now, this is where it gets interesting here. With the seventh spot, the seventh and final playoff spot in the AFC West. So the Steelers, who are in the bubble, they're in the hunt. They're at number nine here. They need to win. And for the Raiders to get in, they need the Colts to lose. So if the Colts were to lose, the Steelers were to win, in theory, the Chargers and Raiders could tie so that they both get in. They could, I don't know, someone post on like NFL memes or anything. If the Colts were to lose and the Raiders and the Steelers were to win, it all comes down to the Chargers-Raiders game this week. And if both of these teams just mutually agreed to tie, if the game ended in a tie, they're both in. But again, the head coach of the Chargers came out and said, you know what, no, this is a game. We're going to go into it like a normal game. We're going to try to win. If the Chargers then were to win, that would knock the Raiders and the Steelers out of playoff contention. So, crazy scenario. Really interesting there at the bottom of the AFC. But that's how the playoffs look right now. Again, a recap. In the AFC, it's Titans 1, Chiefs 2, Bengals 3. Bills sit at 4. Then it goes Patriots, Colts, Chargers in the wild card spots. And as for the NFC, it's the Packers locking up the number 1 spot. Rams sitting in 2nd. Buccaneers in 3rd. Cowboys rounding out the top 4. And the wild card spots go Cardinals, 49ers, and Eagles. So that's how it sits in the NFL. It's going to be a great final week, and I can't wait for the NFL playoffs. I'm excited. I hope you all are. But on that note, we are going to be changing gears. So I will be right back. So dating back again before the holiday break, something on Twitter arose, and there were some incredible streaks coming out of Division III basketball. Not one, but two teams had win streaks of 50 or more games. Yes, I'm talking about Hope Women's College Basketball and Yeshiva Men's Basketball. Both teams had a 50 or more game win streak. Heading into the holiday break, I'm going to take a look at their schedules before, but first, who are they? So Hope Women's basketball team, they are the past champions of the MIAA conference, and their win streak stands at 55 games. And of course, on the other side, at the time, yeah, it's a little tease right there. Number one is Shiva men's basketball. They play in the Skyline Conference in New York City, and of course, they're located in New York City. So Yeshiva, at the time of the news, had a 50-game winning streak, and within the same week, Hope women's basketball team surpassed a 55-game win streak mark. Now, you may wonder, as I was, how did these streaks span over two seasons, and why weren't these dominant teams named NCAA champions? Well, thanks to COVID, the 2020 NCAA basketball tournament was canceled immediately, and in 2021, all sports in the Division III level were pushed to the late winter, early spring time schedule, and winter sports were not granted an opportunity of an NCAA tournament once again. So both of these teams, who have not lost a game in over two seasons, have no hardware to show for it, with the exception of their conference championship trophies. So will these two teams win the national championship this year and continue their streak? It's hard to say right now, but of course, I took a deep dive into the streaks that have lived on, and I want to take a current look at where they stand now. So as I'm looking at each team's past schedule, I'm now realizing that these streaks may have been spanning three different seasons, not just two, but three, because of the COVID season, riddled season last year, and each team may have won a national championship, but they did not. So let's dive in. First, Hope women's basketball team went 16-0 overall and 7-0 in conference play to win the MIAA championship last year. And currently, they are a perfect 11-0 this season. So if you do the math, that's only 27 wins in a row. So that's why I discovered that these win streaks are going to take place 3 years ago, now 3 years ago as we've entered 2022. So I took a look at their 2019-2020 season. And in that season, the Hope women's basketball team went an amazing and perfect 27-0, and of course won their conference. But wait, 27 plus 27 is only 54. Yes, I get it, you are right. But in 2020, each Division III tournament got to play the first round of games before COVID put an immediate stop to the postseason, thus bringing Hope's now streak, winning streak, up to 55 games. However, as I was taking a look at these records and these standings and all that, even more impressive is that Brian Morehouse, the head coach of Hope women's basketball team, has coached at Hope for 25 seasons, and he has never had a losing record, and he's never finished outside the top two in the MIAA conference. Wow. Now, that is an impressive streak on their own, that they've won 55 games in a row, but for Brian Morehouse to have a streak like that as a head coach at the college ranks, that is by far the most impressive thing I figured out. So that's a streak. They have two streaks going on right now, which is crazy. And they probably will win the MIAA, and they're not going to finish outside the top two. And let me tell you, they're not number two. So that does it for Hope women's basketball. Now let's take a look at Yeshiva men's hoops. They are known as the Maccabees. What a nickname. What a mascot. I love that. They play in the Skyline Conference in New York, as I said before, and just recently, the streak came to an end. Yes, they were upset by the, at the time, number four Illinois Wesleyan. And since the news broke of them being 15-0, their streak has come to an end, and it literally just happened a week ago. Iwu came into New York City. Yes, Iwu came from the middle of Illinois, traveled to the Big Apple, and they defeated a D3 powerhouse who had held the number one ranking all season. Shocking. However, this does not make their streak any less impressive. And looking at a few of these scores, they were dominating teams. They weren't just winning these teams and squeaking by. Some of these scores were 104-59, 95-49. Yeah, they were destroying teams. They were winning games by 50 or more points. They weren't just winning games. They were winning by a large margin. And now reviewing the streak, it began, of course, in the 2019-2020 season. Yeshiva was 29-1 in that season. However, their one loss came in the first game of the season. So they took one L to begin the 2019-2020 season, and then they went on to win 29 games in a row that year. Won their conference unscathed in their final 29 games. It was crazy. That is impressive. What a season for them in 2019-2020. And, of course, COVID putting a stop to their NCAA tournament run. Now moving ahead to that COVID riddle season of 2020 and 2021, the Maccabees went 7-0. They were originally scheduled to play 12 total games, but due to COVID, they only got to play 7 games. However, they won all 7. So now that brings their streak up to 36 games. Now taking a look at their current season right now, before their loss to Iwu, Yeshiva was a perfect 14-0, 36-14. brings the grand total to 50 wins. So very, very impressive, and congrats to the Maccabees. Hopefully they can maintain a top five ranking and get back on that winning path here soon. And on that note, well, before I get there, also keep a lookout for Hope Women's Basketball, and I'll routinely check in to see if their streak is still alive. But with all that being said, let's take a look at the current Division III and Division I hoops rankings. So first, I want to take a look at just the top five for the Division III women's hoops before we move on to some men's basketball. Of course, Hope sits at number one. They have been number one all season. They're 11-0. They have won 625 points and received all the votes for number one. But right behind them, look out, Hope, is Christopher Newport. Their women's soccer team actually just won the NCAA Division III championship as well. Well, their women's basketball team is on a tear right now. Perfect 13-0 so far through the season. They make the jump from number six to number two. And then to round out the top five for the D3 women's hoops, it goes Amherst at three, Transylvania right behind them, and with one loss at 10-1, it goes Whitman, who just suffered their first loss of the season, and they fell from two to five. So it goes Hope, Christopher Newport, Amherst, Transylvania, Whitman, and then right behind them, right outside the top five, goes Simpson and Trine at 6-7. So that's taking a quick look at Division III women's hoops top 25. As for the men's top 25, with Yeshiva's loss, that means there's a new number one. Well, it all just kind of fell in order. So Randolph Macon, who is number two, jumps up to number one. UW-Platteville, who is number three, jumps up to two. Iwu, who sat at four, defeated Yeshiva, move up to three. And Oshkosh, who was sitting at five, now moves into four. And of course, where does Yeshiva fit into this? They fall to number five. So yes, they did retain a top five ranking after suffering their first loss this season. Look for them to, you know, hopefully regain that top spot by the end of the season. But as for their top five, it's Randolph-Macon, UW-Platteville, Illinois-Wesleyan, UW-Oshkosh, Yeshiva. Then it goes on to St. Joseph from Connecticut at 8-0. Right behind them goes Washington U. Then it goes Marietta, Wheaton, Illinois, and Christopher Newport's men's team to round out the top 10 for the men's side of thing. And then taking a look all the way up to number 20, it'll go UW-Lacrosse at number 11, number 12, Johns Hopkins, 13, Whitworth, then it's Elmhurst and Mount Union, 14 and 15, respectively. Roanoke, Williams, Swarthmore, 16, 17, 18, and then Mary Hardin-Baylor, there's that name again. They move into number 19, and rounding out the top 20 goes Maryville out of Tennessee at 11-1. So I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of Midwest basketball in that top 20, a lot of East Coast basketball in that top 20, and of course from down south, Mary Hardin-Baylor and Maryville out of Tennessee. But as for the Midwest and even the state of Wisconsin, UW-Platteville, Iwu up there in the top three, UW-Oshkosh sits at four, Wheaton, Illinois, number nine, then UW-Lacrosse right outside the top 10 at 11, we're talking Elmhurst out of Illinois at 14, Mount Union at 15, I mean, a lot of Midwest basketball in there, a lot of East Coast basketball. So that's taking a quick look at the NCAA Division III men's top 20. You guys can check out the list at d3hoops.com. Now moving on to some Division I basketball, and there's two polls in Division I basketball. It's the AP top 25 and in the coaches poll. These lists are scary similar, with just the exception of a few teams here and there in the coaches poll. But taking a look at the AP top 25, the top five has remained unchanged. I take that back. The top seven has remained unchanged for not one, but the last 2 weeks. So that, of course, goes Baylor at number one, Duke right behind them at 11-1 at number two, Purdue and Gonzaga 3-4, and UCLA rounding up the top five. UCLA hasn't played in a month due to COVID. So kind of surprising that they stay in the top five, but they sit there at 8-1. Right behind them goes Kansas and USC. And then it goes Arizona, Auburn, and Michigan State to round out the top 10. Taking a look past the top 10, it goes Iowa State, Houston, Ohio State, Texas, and Alabama in the next five. A tie at number 16 is Providence and Kentucky. Interesting. Then it goes Tennessee, Villanova, and Colorado State to round out the top 20. And the final five trailing, it goes LSU, Xavier, Wisconsin has snuck back into the top 25. Seton Hall and Texas Tech. Texas Tech, of course, number 25. And then teams right outside the top 25 receiving votes, Illinois, Oklahoma, and Loyola Chicago. But what I'm talking about in like these lists are eerily similar. I mean, there's not a change in the list until you hit number 7, and it's not even a change. It's just the coaches poll has Arizona above USC at 7 and 8. The next change, they have Houston and Iowa State swapping spots. Shocker here, though, Kentucky, who's 16, tied at 16 in the AP poll. They're number 13 in the coaches poll, and Providence is actually 17. So, I mean, not a ton of change, just a few changes here and there, but the lists are identical. But there you have it. That is all for college basketball. Well, sports fans, there you have it. That is all from me today. We covered the legendary careers of John Madden and Betty White. We covered football all the way from Division III to the NFL, and we uncovered some incredible win streaks out of college hoops. Thanks again for listening. Go ahead, give me a follow on Twitter, and I'll be back with a new episode in the coming weeks. Thanks again, and have a great weekend. This has been another edition of D3+. We'll be right back.